Well, this morning, as the Lord usually does in so many ways, a lot of what we've talked about, especially in our class this morning, and what Ed talked about our witness and Dean's testimony in our own lives, fits so well into what I'm wanting to talk about this morning. The idea that I want to bring to you is consider the cross. And it's going to be a little different. Hopefully by the end, and I'm confident by the end, you'll see how it all flows together. Because I'd like for us to consider a different cross than the cross. So you'll see where I'm going here in just a moment. But I want to start with this passage that we find here. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84 and 11. When I ran across that passage originally when I was putting this together, I was so impressed about what this passage seemed to be telling me. And as I began contemplating the first part of it, the Lord bestows favor and honor. And I thought about the life of Christ. And sure enough, as you think about Christ, the Lord did provide. The Lord showed honor and favor as he walked here. Because we read the stories of the blind seeing. Those that had never seen before got to see. We saw the lame being able to walk again. The deaf were able to hear again. The sick were cured. Not just a few sick, but all kinds of diseases. Everything that was imaginable to man brought before Christ the Savior was cured. It was an amazing thing. The multitudes were fed. 5,000, 4,000 individually, they were fed. And even the dead were raised. Indeed, the Lord did honor. The Lord did see those that were around him and gave favor to him. Gave favor to them. But there's always a yow but, isn't it? There's always the yow but. We're really good at it. Because we want to look for the exceptions. And that's what we want to focus on. And so, that's where my mind went. I'm just as like you. I can look for the exceptions and think about, okay, the Lord favors and honors. Yeah, but Paul's thorn was never removed. I mean, sure, he got an answer, but the reality is, it was never removed. Yeah, but Timothy continued to have stomach issues. Timothy just couldn't pray. I mean, he was a servant of God. Couldn't he pray and have that taken care of? But it never happened. Yeah, but Paul had to leave Trophimus sick at Miletus. Well, this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. He couldn't walk in to the bed chamber of Prometheus and say, "Be healed." I mean, he had that power. Why? But he had to leave him sick. Yeah, but Epaphroditus almost died. It was a great pain for Paul. Demas left Paul for the love of the world. And then we could get really personal, can't we? I mean, that's all happened there, but we can look at our own lives and find the yeah buts, can't we? Yeah, but my dad and mother-in-law died within 3 weeks of each other. Yeah, that's favor and honor. Thank you very much. I can get caught up into it. My oldest grandson has leukemia. Yeah, but what in the world is going on here? And we lose that focus. So what was that verse again back there in Psalm? Was it, "I will always like what he gives"? No. I don't think that's exactly what it said. Was it, Well, he'll give me what I want. Well, that would be nice sometimes, but that wasn't it either, was it? Maybe it was, he gives only good things. Well, that's a little closer. The verse says, no good thing does he withhold. So I need to figure out what it is he's talking about there. How in the world am I going to understand how God favors and honors me if he doesn't withhold any good thing from me? What is that all about? Well, this is where the cross comes in. Luke 9 and 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. This isn't a one-time event, is it? Every morning I wake up, I get out of bed, I put on my clothes, and I put my cross on. Not the little dangly thing that hangs around your neck and looks nice. It's not what he's talking about, is it? Not the little fob that you can put on the end of your keychain. That's a nice reminder. Jesus said, every day, you need to pick up your cross. Well, it's not that little nice dangly thing or that little silverware or the gold-plated little thing that makes my neck looks good. Then I understand what the word cross means. That's not a pleasant word out of the context of jewelry. What do I do with that? How do I consider the cross that Jesus seems to be saying I have to pick up every day? Well, let me do it by talking about Joe Christian. And Joe Christian is right up here. We're going to follow this guy right up here at the very top in the yellow. He's just like every other Christian. He's running around doing his thing. He's got his cross. But Joe is an inquisitive man, and he always wants to have an answer. And so, as he's carrying his cross, you see it's dragging there, it's bumping along. If you've ever carried anything when it's been on your shoulder and on the ground, every bump on the ground translates to a bump on your shoulder. And he's just walking along there a lot with a lot of other people. But all of a sudden he has an idea. Lord, if this is too heavy, do you mind if I cut a little bit of it off and it'll be easier to carry? And so there's his saw. He's busy cutting off a little piece of his cross. And look at Joe Christian. He's a happy guy. He's a happy camper. That cross is not dragging on the ground anymore. It is a lot easier to carry. But he's still carrying his cross, isn't he? Well, there he goes in our pack. And actually, he's even moved up in the pack a little bit. He's really putting some forward momentum going here. Well, we're going to come back to Joe Christian a little bit. But first of all, the passage in Psalm says, those who walk uprightly. And there's where I want to spend the next part of my time. And Denny's going to read for us Psalm 15. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 15, you'll find that passage and we'll spend a little time there.
Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and doesn't change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who doesn't accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Thank you, Denny. those who walk uprightly. What does that mean then? As we look at how God influences our life, as He intersects with us as we walk, as He does not withhold any good thing to those who walk uprightly. What do we need to know about that then? To be on the good side of God. Well, there may be about 10 things, but we don't have time to go into all 10, but let's look at a few of them. First of all, he says, the man, the person who does what is right. You know, doing what right is not always easy. Generally, we can figure out what is right. It's the doing that becomes difficult. But this is a person who does what is right. A good brother up in Kirksville, his catchphrase is, you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And that's his motto. That's how he lives. A decision comes, if it's the right thing, then you do that because it's the right thing to do. It doesn't make any difference about circumstances. If it's the right thing to do, that's what you do. But he also said, speaks truth in his heart. That's one that is a challenge for us. I look at that, and when I think about that phrase, I think I need to be honest with myself. You know, I can do a lot. I can fool a lot of people. I can put on a good face. I can tell you I'm doing fine when I'm not, and you might not ever know the difference. But a man or a woman who speaks truth in his heart, when I'm by myself, when I'm in the room, when I'm in my own little box, when all I've got is the mirror and me, am I willing to face me? Am I willing to deal with the Dan that's looking back? And if I'm able to do that, if I'm able to see my failures and my successes in Christ, then I can speak truth in my heart. Does not slander or gossip. A powerful thing for us to have in our lives. If each person would do this one thing, we would have almost zero contentions in the church. Because most of the contentions we have is that we think somebody said, or somebody heard what they thought they said as they told you about it, and so you get all bent out of shape. If all the messages that came to you stopped with you, it'd be over, wouldn't it? It'd be done. In fact, what happens is people would stop talking to you. Because part of the power of slander and gossip is the victory of passing it on. And if you're not the passer-oner, then why tell you? There's no benefit in that. So finding a way to listen to that stuff and then put it into your heart and close it up and never repeat it. What a marvelous thing that would be. What a gracious thing that would be to those who are being slandered or gossiped about. Slow to believe evil about a neighbor. It's easy to make assumptions, isn't it? We just do that all the time. In marriages, you make assumptions about what your mate wants, and then you find out that's not really what they were talking about. Because you just thought you knew, but you didn't really know. Or you make the assumptions about what somebody is saying from the pulpit without ever going and talking to them and finding out what they really meant. They may have said something that wasn't in their notes. And it was off the top of their head. And it wasn't exactly what they wanted to say. It just came out because there's a little tension standing up here. I mean, you have good intentions, but sometimes your intentions don't always pan out. So if we'd be slow to believe evil about our neighbor, about our brother and sister of Christ, about anything that we hear, it goes with our slander and gossip. Slow to believe. Check it out. Find out what's going on. Does not show respect based on wealth, position, or power. We are a power culture. You have the car, the right car to drive. You have the right clothes to wear. You have the right job. You have the right toys, whether they're electronic or four-wheeled or two-wheeled, or it doesn't make any difference. We are a power culture. And as much as we work against that, the subtlety of it, that's not right either. Subtle is the word I want. What it? Subtlety? No. Subtlety, thank you. The subtlety of this power is with us. I can remember an event that happened here that just illustrates that to me. And there was no evil intention involved, but Neil Norman one time, it was a Sunday here, and we were having a basket dinner. And it was at one of those times that Neil was driving a Mercedes Sport Coupe. It was a really nice car. If you're a car person, you looked in the parking lot and saw that car and you knew, oh, that's a nice car. And much later, sometime when I was doing this lesson, it came to me, this idea of showing respect or power. You know, there were a bunch of us just standing around talking, but we didn't stand around my minivan talking. We stood around the Mercedes Sport Coupe talking. Now, there was no evil intention there, but it is subtle. It drives us, and we have to be really careful about letting that seep into our souls. And he honors those that fear God. We think about those that have gone on before us and the lessons that they have given to us. We consider those who are our mentors now, who stand in the gap, who are the prayer warriors of our body, who write those notes, who send those emails. You honor those person, those people who have a fear for God, and it drives them to service. And he keeps his word regardless of cost. That's really hard, isn't it? I mean, we intend to follow up on our word. That's our intention. But sometimes the word that we have given, the I promise we have made, we didn't see all the consequences. We can't imagine the consequences. Not just for others, but for us. What it's going to cost me if I follow through. But regardless of cost, the one who walks humbly before God is one who keeps his word regardless of cost. And finally, he uses his money to help others. Each of us have the ability to do different things. We each have different amounts of money that we have access to that we can share. The point is, it's not how much money you have, but it's how you use the money you have. That's the issue. We just had the reading of the widow with her two copper coins. It wasn't how much money she had. It was how she used the money she had. We have an older single lady who has lots of medical issues up at Kirksville. And she saves her change. And her medical issues generally keep her from service. She just can't get out, can't stand, can't walk, can't sit. Some of you may know that sense. But we get a call from her every month or so. I've got my change in my Ziploc. Would you come by and pick it up? That's the best she can do, and it's a marvelous thing. It's what you it's what you do with what you have. So, Job Christian, he's been carrying that cross, looking at all these things, what he needs to do, and he realizes, man, that's a lot of work. You know, I think that if I was going to focus all my energies there, that maybe if I chopped off a little more, it'd be easier. And so away he goes, chopping off a little more of that cross. And there he is. Man, Lord, thanks so much. Look how much easier it is to walk. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, what do we know when it says to us that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly? We've talked about uprightly. So how does the Lord make those decisions? Well, there are some basic principles we need to understand. And these are principles that you already know. First of all, he disciplines those that he loves, Hebrews 12:6. There are some times that you get that the cross that you're carrying is because you built it. And you're carrying your cross because you made it. Now, there are times it's not your fault. But there are times when God lets you carry your own cross. Because you need to. We also find in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he's not ever going to give us more than we can bear. He has a fence built around us. And he knows exactly how close Satan can get to us. And he limits Satan. You will not get more than you can bear. And I know there are times when you think he made a mistake. He had somebody else's name at the top of the list instead of yours. You know, please recheck the list. Make sure it's my name on these things that are happening. But that's his promise. Romans 8 tells us that he always works for the good of those that love him. So in other words, whatever he's doing so that you can be better. Not that he's doing good things for you. He's doing things for you to be better. For your good. Don't we say that to our kids? We're doing this for your good. And they shake their head and say, no way. Well, God says, I'm doing this for your good. And we shake our heads. But he still does it. Also in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will provide a way out. Whatever those burdens are, whatever is going on, whatever he has said, I'm going to allow to happen to you, there is a way out. It's either through, over, or around, or you tunnel underneath. That doesn't make any difference. There is a way to deal with it. If you trust in me, God says, I'm going to make sure that you can find that out. And finally, in James 1, he says, if you'll stand, then you'll receive the crown of life. It is there. You stand to the end, and you'll receive that crown of life. Those are the basic principles of how God works in our lives. As we look at how we can be people who walk uprightly. Well, Job's life has come to a gulch. And he's not quite sure what to do with his life. It is too big to jump across. So he decides, I'm just going to wait. Let's see what somebody else does. And sure enough, other people come along and they use that cross they've been carrying and they just lay it across that gulf and walk across and pick up their cross and keep going. And Joe says, well, that makes a lot of sense. Except for Joe, he's been having so many shortcuts in his Christian life, there's not much left there. And he's going to have to start over. He's going to have to start at a different spot. Jesus asks us to daily pick up your cross. He didn't ask us to pick up part of it or just pick up the cross beam or shorten it up. He says, pick up your cross on a daily basis. And then he has made these promises. If you will do that, I will do this. That's a marvelous plan. It works well. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, what do we do about the yell butts? Well, we just rechange them. Instead of focusing on the negative, we begin to focus on the positive. And I did that just real quickly. I thought about, yeah, but this is how I came to be where I am. Had a mom and dad that loved me, that left me a great Christian witness. Had Vic Gibson who taught us in small groups and did the film strips. Wilford Landis who did such a marvelous job giving me a great foundation for me to reach back into. Wendell Sparks, who helped us learn to speak and reach out in the ways that we could. And Chad, who has been there to share and be concerned about us. And then I have my wife, who's made the difference in my life. And our children and our grandsons. And now my yow butts aren't so big. Because I'm focusing on what God has already done good for me rather than my issues. Indeed, he has withheld no good thing from me in my life. And I praise his name for that. I praise him and thank him for the goodness that he has given me. Whatever your cross, whatever your pain, there will always be sunshine after the rain. Perhaps you may stumble, perhaps even fall, but God's always ready to answer your call. He knows every heartache and sees every tear. A word from his lips can calm every fear. Your sorrows may linger throughout the night, but suddenly vanish by dawn's early light. The Savior is waiting somewhere above to give you his grace and to send you his love. Consider the cross. And it's not the cross of Jesus, although we need to do that. What I'd like for you to focus on is to consider your cross and the blessing that it is in your life. If you're outside of Christ, you don't have a cross to carry. You're just running around with your sins. But they can be taken away. And a cross of hope and of help and of victory can be yours. That's what it's all about. And that's what he does for us. If you're outside the body of Christ and you want a different pattern for your life than what you have now, the cross of Christ awaits. If you need more information, if you need to know how to get involved in that cross, we'd love to talk to you. If you have something you want to share with the body, This is the time to bring it forward to one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing.